CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. I'm out west holding it down. Ashburn, Virginia. Commanders back at it. Big game this week. Don't you dare tell Dan Quinn he can rest his starters. DQ correctly and understandably really believes that the seeding matters. And if you're just looking on paper at how this is going to work in the NFL, he's right. There's a big difference between going to L.A. or Tampa versus going to play Philly. And I know Washington just beat Philly a couple weeks ago. I'm fully aware of that. Please save your tweets and everything saying how Washington just beat them. Who cares? Clearly Dan Quinn cares, because it also opens the door, however slim that door is, it also opens the door to maybe hosting a playoff game. There is, you know, you look at the AFC playoffs, and Chiefs, Bills, Ravens have clearly established themselves as the heavyweights in the AFC. I find it hard to believe that of the other four teams that are going to get in, Texans, Steelers, Chargers, probably the Broncos, although I'm personally rooting for the Bengals. I think the Chargers could give somebody a good game. I think all of those teams are pretty good, but I don't think any of them could touch Chiefs, Bills, Ravens. The NFC, though, man, it's pretty damn wide open. Detroit looks pretty vulnerable. Going to play Minnesota this week. That'll get sorted out. The Eagles can beat anybody, and they're quite beatable. Washington just showed you that, especially whatever's going on with Jalen Hurts. I think he's still in the concussion protocol. Rams, it's just wide open. Right now, the Packers are the 7 seed. I wonder what odds you could get for the Packers to go to the Super Bowl. Like, it wouldn't shock me if the Packers made a deep run in this thing. It is it's going to be fascinating to watch. I think that's why DQ is really smart in taking this week quite seriously. I mean, not to mention the Cowboys beat them here a couple of weeks ago. And I guess maybe that was like closer to 6 weeks ago. You got to win this game. Dallas has zero to play for. CeeDee Lamb's been shut down. Go get him. And I like that from DQ. Now, that does not mean to me, like, I wonder if you can get odds on Marcus Mariota pass attempts. Because, frankly, I'd probably take the over. Like, if it's 0.5 Mariota passes, I would take the over. Gearing up and preparing for the week and wanting to take it seriously does not necessarily mean you get to the fourth quarter and this is a two-score game one way or the other that some guys aren't going to hit the bench. But with that said, that's why we're out in Ashburn. We're going to hear from Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt today. You guys will hear all that live here on the B. Mitch and Finley program. I'm also want to say congratulations to Jaden Daniels and to Terry McLaurin making the Pro Bowl selections. Team has announced that. This is no surprise, especially if you kind of been paying attention to the voting. And I've been like tweeting that out and talking about it for a while. But I think it's pretty damn cool that Jaden gets in as a rookie. And for Terry, this is a different year where it's not like he was an alternate or whatever. This is, he's a top five receiver in the NFL, and nobody should be surprised that he gets there. I do, on a personal level, really hope Terry catches a touchdown this week. I think Atlanta kind of sold out to stop Terry last week, and I'd like to see him break this franchise touchdown record, the single-season touchdown receiving record. Right now he's tied with a bunch of dudes at 12, including Ricky Sanders. If he can get one more, he'll break that record. But, dude, I mean, just – I think we're all aware of Jaden's incredible season. Terry right now is – 17th in yards. He's over 1,000 yards on the season. He is probably, I mean, some of the volume catchers in this league are crazy. He has 74 receptions. I believe he's top five in the NFL in touchdowns. Yeah, he's tied for second in touchdowns with Amon-Ra St. Brown. They each have 12. Mike Evans just behind at 4. Justin Jefferson just behind at 5. First, the season Ja'Marr Chase is putting together, though, is just so damn outrageous. 117 catches, 1,600 yards, 16 touchdowns. Chase is averaging 100 yards a game. It's not going to happen, but we are, like, approaching, especially they add this 18th game, which is only a matter of time before they do that. We're approaching a 2,000-yard wide receiver, which is just going to be so bananas. But it'll be kind of fun to watch. Toby Altizer is here in for B. Mitch. Good morning, Tobo. How do you do?
Not too bad. Can't complain. Had a wild day yesterday, getting up early for New Year's Day, hanging out with Denton for the Junks. So.
Oh, you did the Junkies?
Yeah.
So. How was that?
It was good. It was good hanging out with Denton, talking a little college football, and then all the craziness of yesterday. So we get another college football game today.
So on Tuesday, right? Tuesday was New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
I was not on air. And we had a short show anyway, I think, because the Caps played. God, I just realized how dirty these shoes are. So I was driving to go play golf. I played golf with B that day. We had a lot of fun. And I was listening. It was Denton and Linnell. Were you on New Year's Eve day?
I was not. No, I had the day off.
Okay. Denton and Linnell were having this conversation about Jaden's next contract. And it drove me so crazy that was a discussion point that I texted Landfill. Because I didn't know if Landfill was working. Landini, what did I said something like, these dudes might make me swerve off the road. Because I was just like, what are we doing?
It was not great. And you woke me up with that text, by the way. Yeah, you said, are you working today? These dudes are talking about Jaden's contract that he can't sign for 2 years. I think you'd lop your own head off, and you're correct.
It was like my ride to the golf course was like 10 minutes. That was like 4 minutes, and then they got into regular conversation, and it was all good. But I like almost called in and yelled at them. I was like, what the hell are you two doing?
We didn't have any of that discussion
good,
yesterday,
good.
For the record.
By the way, if you're just wondering what Jaden's contract is going to be, they're going to hand his agent a blank piece of paper, and he's going to write down whatever number he wants, and that's the contract.
So true.
Yeah, dude.
So true.
And then Adam Peters will say, thank you.
Right. Can we get you a private jet back to L.A.? Like, whatever you need, pal. I thought that was premature, I would say.
Well, you know.
No, we're not going to do it.
I'm not. I'm just saying this is why these next couple years are going to be exciting, because they're going to go all in while he's still in the rookie contract.
Right. They're going to go all in the whole time.
Absolutely.
When you have a quarterback, like everybody gets so caught up. Like, the amount of fan salary cap-itis, like, fans are just so obsessed with the cap and, like, the guaranteed money and stuff. Like, sometimes you have a bad deal and it eats you up, like Cleveland and Deshaun Watson. Most of the time, the dudes that are professionals at this, that they've devoted their career to doing this, pretty good at it. They figure it out.
Well,
and when you have a stud, the rest of it doesn't matter, dude.
And these guys are so good at, even when they sign a bad contract, they can maneuver, right? Like the Deshaun Watson deal, they just reworked it so they can figure out some stuff. And so you can make this work however you want. And thankfully, it seems like Washington has one of those dudes that's good at maneuvering these things now, because I don't know that that was the case for a while.
We have a packed show coming your way. We're going to check in with the folks in Dallas. Obviously, I know that today is Thursday, correct? Jeff apparently had a lot of trouble with what day of the week it was earlier. Today is Thursday, but we're going to do a Wednesday bit and have Neil Greenberg on. I want to let Greenberg pat himself on the back a little, take a little victory lap, and talk about the bet he put in for the Commanders to get to 11 wins. He deserves that. Joe Witt and Cliff Kingsbury will talk today. Sean Sharif from Dallas will join us. Get a little Cowboys preview, because the Cowboys – their last game, they looked bad, but 2 games ago, they beat Tampa on Sunday Night Football. Like, the Cowboys have not packed it in, and Washington needs to be very aware of that. 1 o'clock, we'll open the phone lines up. 1:30, Peter Rosenberg will join us. There was football yesterday. Listen, the situation in New Orleans is so unfathomably sad. We were there 2-3 weeks ago. That intersection where all this terrible event happened, this terrorist attack, was like a block from the hotel I stayed in. Like, I was right there 2 weeks ago, and it's just so unfathomably sad. And I hate and loathe these people that just will attack random innocent bystanders. Excuse me. And so for that game to get postponed last night in New Orleans was absolutely the right call. They're playing it, what, today at 4 now?
4 o'clock, yeah.
But we did get to see some football yesterday. Good for Arizona State, man. They tried like hell. The refs were completely in on Texas getting through. I mean, I was in the car, so I had like the college sports radio on Sirius, whatever that is. Maybe that's what Denton does, right?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they must have had the ASU call because these dudes were so mad. Like I don't know who does Arizona State football radio, but when there was the targeting call that wasn't a targeting call, this dude, the color analyst, just started going in on Texas has big money, and that's what this is all about. And I was just like, damn, dog.
What'd you make of that? You saw a replay of that?
I've seen replays of it.
So to me, that is targeting by the rule. I hate that's a football play, JP. Like, I hate that you're going to flag. I'm thankful that they didn't call it because you're going to decide the game probably on a targeting foul that's a regular football tackle. Yes, he ends up hitting him in the head, but the guy's ducked down making the catch. Like, I don't know. I'm glad they went that way, but at the same point, by the letter of the law, that should be targeting, which I hate. I mean, it's the same thing we talk about all the time.
I'm not saying you had to throw the kid out of the game, but they should have had a first down.
Maybe, but like it.
And then the spot on what's that guy's name? Scataboo?
Scataboo.
What a name.
No one could tackle that guy. He's unbelievable.
That dude could play for me any day. It's funny, dude, because I have a buddy that's like obsessed with the draft and is always texting me about like who guys that the Commanders could pick. And I've been pretty open to the like, Where do we think Washington ends up picking? 25-ish?
Yeah.
I think.
Somewhere late 20s.
So I think Genty's gone by then, but yeah. I'm not anti-back. Some of these tight ends that are playing right now, obviously the kid at Penn State's a monster. The kid at Texas is really good. Mm-hmm. But I also, I want Ed. If you get Lattimore back and you've got him under contract for 2 years, maybe they have to maneuver some guarantees or whatever. But if you can sort out this hammy thing. Now, this hammy thing's been a problem for Lattimore for some time, but if you can sort that out and you add like a stud edge rusher, right now they've got some good edge rushers. You're able to manufacture some of that stuff, but like Parsons changed Dallas, you know?
Oh, like, big time.
Like if you can get a stud edge rusher with this group, that starts to look pretty exciting. But right now, I just looked it up on Tankathon, Washington would have the 26th pick. That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Just to talk about them that late
crazy.
In the draft. I just, watching the Texas-Arizona State game, it ended up being a fun game. It was kind of weird, kind of boring. Watching Ohio State and Oregon was just an absolute ass-kicking.
It's wild that Jeremiah Smith is a true freshman.
He's 19!
He's 187 yards yesterday, and if he were to go pro, he's probably a top 10 pick. I mean, he is unbelievable how big he is for his age. What is he, 6'3", 220 or something like that? No one could cover him, which I don't know what Oregon was doing because they were busting coverages all game long against him. And it was just wild to see the number one team in the country, which, by the way, they got to reseed this stuff. They got to figure out a better way because the fact that the number one team that went undefeated has to face Ohio State in their first playoff game is a little bit crazy. But regardless, for them to go out there and just dominate that game, when it was a close one when they went to Oregon earlier in the year, they just dominated them early. Also, too,
I mean, it was 31-0 or something, yeah, right? Like, what was the scoring in that?
Well, and it's something to note that all three teams that had the bye week came out rusty.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens tonight with Georgia. But
well, that situation tonight for Georgia and Notre Dame, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what you do there. Like, I mean, I don't, you know, like that is such a heavy situation.
Absolutely. And, you know, how much is that weighing on the players and whatnot? But, like, at least for the three that we've seen so far, the team that had the week off, that had a little extra time to prepare, looked rusty coming out. And I think that's something that we talk about all the time here because, you know, you talk about coming out of the bye week or do you rest players? Do you want to be rusty or whatnot? But I think it shows up even more with college kids when they got to get back in their groove. And for some of the teams, it took too long, and now you're in a hole that you can't come back out of. You know, a credit to Arizona State where they came out slow and they were able to get back in the game.
I'd also add, though, that because the seeding is so jacked up, that, like, bad teams got byes. like I don't know that Penn State running through Boise is a result of them being rusty. I think it's Boise shouldn't have gotten a bye.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Like they gotta – I think they're close with this playoff, but this ain't it. Like, you can have automatic qualifiers for the conference stuff. That's cool. But they don't – they shouldn't get to be top four.
No, I mean, because, like, you look at – you know, what was it last year? NC State went on that magical run in the NCAA tournament or ACC tournament into the NCAA tournament. They weren't automatically a one seed.
Right.
They're still way down in the tournament. Same thing with Virginia Tech a couple of years ago. So just because you are guaranteed a spot doesn't mean you're guaranteed a bye week in one of those top four teams. So I think they've got to make some adjustments.
Good for ASU, though. Does Dillingham, so the Arizona State coach, where's he going? Sorry, Drab.
I don't know. I was talking with Drab. He said he loves it out there, so we'll see.
Of course. You know where I was?
He just signed a contract.
Now, you hold on one damn second, Toby. You know where I was last fall? No, I guess fall of 23, right? This last fall now was 24.
Yeah, where's that?
In the fall of 2023, I got to take in a game at Husky Stadium, Seattle, Washington. Washington played Utah. Michael Penix was dealing. One of the kids had a DeSean Jackson play at the end zone, if you remember that. It was a hell of a game, and this dude couldn't have been cooler or nicer, kind of hosted us. I got to tailgate on a boat. It was wild. And these Husky fans were awesome and so into it, and they've got a really cool, unique thing up there in Seattle, right? And I asked the gentleman, I said, you know, you guys going to be able to hang on to DeBoer? And he's like, oh, yeah, man. He's like, this guy loves it here. Apparently, his daughter had just gotten a scholarship to play softball there. He just got a big extension. This is going to be our guy. This is going to be our guy going forward. And I loved those people on that boat, and they were so polite and charming. And 4 months later, he's at Bama. So, like, none of these dudes, they all love it right until they don't.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it's going to take a Bama-style job to come available for him to go anywhere, right? Like, what you've got right now, you're in a Power 4 conference, so it's not like you're...
It's not the roughest road to be in that Big 12.
No,
either.
Exactly. So, I don't think it's a horrible spot. He's also, what, 34? Which
is
crazy
young.
To think about. So,
but the flip side of that is, if you are Mrs. Dillingham, and we're making $4 million now at ASU... And who would call right now? Florida State? They probably don't have the cash. Florida? The Gators are going to keep Napier around.
Yeah.
Hell, LSU? Like, what if the four that ASU's probably going to bump them up to six now, but Baton Rouge is offering you 12, dude?
Like, yeah, I mean, it's tough to blame these dudes, right? When you get an opportunity like that where you can
double,
triple. I
don't blame players.
Yeah, it's a wild world of college sports, but, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't blame him if he went somewhere, but who knows? I don't know what he's making at ASU. It seems like he's happy there, but, I mean, he's 34 years old. It could be something, too, where if he decides to stick around, he could build a powerhouse with the Sun Devils. So who knows?
What do you make of this? Two football teams practiced at ASU this year. The Sun Devils and the Washington Commanders both made the playoffs. ASU had a hell of a run. Made it to the second round, if you want to say it that way, because they got a bye. I think this is purely not for my personal gain, Toby. Purely. I think Washington needs to practice in Arizona once a year. 4 or 5 days a year.
Yeah, I'm down with it.
There's obviously a some, you know, so there's some good luck there. There's good vibes from
there
going
is.
To the desert.
It is. And,
it has nothing to do with me playing Silver League.
I tell you what, if that's the case, then maybe I will need to hang out with the team in Arizona or something like that for a week and just see what happens out there while I'm there.
Tonight is packed. The Terps are on late, 9:30. I got to get used to basketball in the pack on the Big Ten West Coast version.
Pac-12.
Yeah, whatever. I was about to say. Caps are on tonight. Wiz got a big win last night. Did you watch the Wiz at all?
I did not, no.
Not, so I watched because the football game was over, and so I watched the Wiz. They kicked they beat the Bulls up and down
the
court.
Hey, man. Alex Saar is starting to figure it out a little bit. If you look at his month-by-month splits,
sure.
October wasn't great. November was a little bit better. December was good. And so he's carrying that over into the new year. I'm excited to see he keeps getting better and better. I mean, regardless of what
Dude,
you think about all the rooks.
His passing has been really
good. He's a good player, man. He's got all the skills. It's just putting it all together.
Yeah. And Poole last night was just on fire. Are the Bulls awful? Was that a back-to-back for them? Did they just not? I mean, their record is still significantly better than the Wiz.
Well, everyone's is.
They're 15-19. Aren't the Pelicans? Are the Wiz? So the Wiz are 6-25. What are the Pelicans? Well, I still am. Uh-oh, Landfill, you're not going to like this. The Wiz are now not the worst record in the NBA.
Yeah, Pelicans 5-29.
I think the Wiz are 6-29.
6-25.
6-25. Oh, boy. We've got some losing to do in the second half here. Let's not forget the big picture here, fellas. Big picture for you, if you're looking to buy or sell your home, is talking to our friend John Leahy. He's the MVP of DMV Real Estate, and he can get you and your family set up just like he has done for people all over the DMV. Think about my friend Amy. Her mom was suffering with dementia, and it became really hard for her mom. So Amy's mom had to move in with Amy, and then it just got complicated. I mean, these are the types of situations that are really, really difficult for families. And then when you add kind of the financial piece of all this, you need an expert. So Amy's mom moved in with her, and then Amy was able to sell that house, but she reached out to John and the Fine Living Group, and they took care of this thing in 3 days, and it went for $65,000 over the asking price. That was in Vienna, too. Vienna's a high-end neighborhood. That stuff's going to move fast. You can't have somebody that doesn't know what they're doing. But more importantly for Amy, she was able to get her mom into her house, get her settled, kind of take care of all the medical side of this while John took care of all the house side of it. You make $65,000 over asking. I mean, not only is that a relief, but it's also taking a burden out of your hands and making you more money on the back end. Stuff like that is why you need to go with John Leahy. You can check him out, johnsellsdmv.com. That's J-O-N, johnsellsdmv.com. Call him, 301-900-3052. Go online to johnsellsdmv.com or just Google John Leahy Group and start packing. This song is an elite example of how bad popular music was in the late 90s. Shout out to all the people that enjoy Limp Bizkit. They're awful. You know, Fred Durst wore a backwards hat. Real cool, though. I mean, his resume for a stretch there was pretty damn unprecedented. I'll give him that. Terrible music, though. I want to check in with the folks in the stream. I got Mike Q first. Mike Q said, first, what up, everybody? What up, Mike? I was today years old when I found out White Brian's last name is Hawk. Am I saying that right, Brian? Hawk?
Hauk, but everyone gets it wrong.
Hauk. How would you pronounce that, Toby? H-A-U-C-K. H-A-U-C-H, rather.
Yeah, probably Hawk.
It's kind of like it reminds me of, like, clearing your throat.
A little bit, yes. That is exactly correct.
I am going to abstain, White Brian, from the very obvious joke that I bet a billion people have made about your last name. How many jokes have you heard about your last name since a young lady in Nashville went very viral?
Too many.
Yeah, I bet. And White Brian, are you actually keeping track of who's been first, like you claim you were going to?
Yeah, I have a spreadsheet going.
All right, update me. So, yo, Mike Q, first winner of the year. That should carry a prize, however nominal that may be.
Congratulations.
It doesn't, though, lest you be a lawyer. Who's on the list, Mike? Brian?
We have Techmark B, Chef Dre Boog, Comandante Tequila.
Brian, you sound so white when you read those names, dude.
He's got to live up to his name, Jamie.
We got to restart the list, though. It's a new year.
Damn, so you're just going to... That's fine. Start it today. It's the 2025 list. I'm cool with that. How are you, Jeffrey?
I'm great, man. I can't complain.
I heard you want to lead off Bleep You Thursday, though.
Oh, yes, I do.
My man. I look forward to that. There were some wild situations in the text thread over the last 24 hours. Greenberg's joining us at 11. I've been getting these questions, so let's run through the Commanders' playoff scenarios. Basically, as long as they win, they're the sixth seed. Like, it's that relatively simple. As long as they win, they're the sixth seed. And people are like, how? Because Green Bay...
Because they're already the sixth seed.
Right, they're currently the sixth seed. They have a tiebreaker over Green Bay in strength of victory, I believe. Or maybe it's NFC record.
Yeah, I think they have a better NFC record by a game or two.
Okay, so as long as they win, they're the sixth seed. There is a path, should they not win, to still be the sixth seed, but It requires Green Bay to lose to the Bears.
That's not happening.
What is the line in Bears-Packers? It's got to be 15.
I think it was 10.5 when okay. I looked. I think it's 10.5. There's some huge lines.
Have you seen
this week,
the Ravens-Browns number?
17.5. Also,
it's now at 18.
I know they're not playing anybody, but the Chiefs are 10.5 point dogs.
I kind of want to take them. The Bucs are 13.5 point favorites over the Saints. Ravens are 18 point favorites over the Browns. This is kind of interesting. I assume the Bills are starting Trubisky?
I think so.
Because they're 2.5 point favorites in New England. Packers are 10 point favorites at home. I would think Green Bay's playing people.
Yeah, they're playing people.
Yeah.
They don't have Jaire Alexander for the rest of the year, but that's kind of expected. It's been kind of weird what's going on up there. No one could figure out whether he was hurt or not. Now he's going to have knee surgery. He's done, but they're going to play their guys.
Commanders, 5-point favorites in Dallas. Broncos, 10-point favorites over the Chiefs.
That's just such a weird line to see, right?
Yeah.
I know they're not going to be playing Mahomes and some of these guys, but still, I mean, it's a divisional game. Maybe it's Carson Wentz's redemption game. Maybe he goes off.
I kind of think he will, dude. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. But as long as Washington wins, they're the sixth seed, and they are almost definitely playing the Rams, right?
Yeah, if the Rams win, which they have the toughest game of all the teams.
Well, aren't they sitting Stafford?
I think so, yes. Well, yeah, so Jimmy G's going to be starting there. So maybe they could end up playing the Buccaneers because right now, the way that things shape up, if the Rams win, which they have the toughest game against the Seahawks, which who knows what's happening with the Seahawks, they're eliminated. So if they lose that one and then the Buccaneers win, then they would jump them and then Washington would go to Tampa to kind of wrap things up once again where they face them in week one and go down there again. But basically, the beautiful thing here is you win, you avoid Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Right? That's the main thing. Because Tampa or L.A. is whatever. They're going to be a good opponent regardless, but you don't want to have to go to Philly on the road right away in the wild card round.
Dude, and I said this as you were walking in, I know that Washington just beat Philly. Like, they just did. They could do it again.
Absolutely.
When they were up there on the Thursday nighter, they had the lead 49 minutes into the game, right? They could play with Philly, undoubtedly. But I think, for me, the absolute top matchup, and it's not, I don't want to say not even close, but I think the best thing that could happen would be get a chance at Tampa again. I think this team, wild card weekend is exponentially better and different than they were week one down there.
Oh, big time.
And I think the opportunity to get that back, for Jaden to go back to Tampa, would really be really pretty cool. I also think, I'm going to be dead honest about something. I think, who's calling plays for Atlanta?
Robinson.
Robinson, right. So Robinson with Atlanta and Sonny Kellen Moore, whoever you want to call for Philly.
Big Dom.
Big Dom, sure. In the second half of both those games, the Saquon and then Bijan got shut down. Both those offenses were stupid and also went away from them.
Correct.
Like in the second half of the Atlanta game, Bijan got 4 carries. He had 82 yards at halftime.
Yeah.
I know Sean McVay, like personally, and I know he's not that dumb. And I think Kyron Williams would be a real, real problem. And I think that Rams offensive line gets going pretty good. I think McVay, of the potential coaches you have to face out of those three, McVay, Bowles, Sirianni, I think McVay is far superior to either. And listen, Washington can play with anyone, undoubtedly.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think getting Tampa, getting a chance to go back where the season started, I think would be pretty damn cool.
Yeah, and regardless of where it is, they're going to have some good storylines. Obviously,
sure,
if they play Philadelphia, it's a third time. We get that. But if they play L.A. in L.A., that's a home game for Jaden, right? He's from that area, from California, so he's going to have people there. But I think the big thing that I'm worried about if you have to play Tampa, which, you can counter some of that. Like you said, you're playing him a second time. Jaden, when he's played some teams the second time this year, he's played better when he played the Giants the second time. He played much better the second time he played the Eagles. I know it's kind of different because we're talking September 8th was when they played Tampa, and now you're going to be playing like more than a couple months later at the end of the year. So it's a little bit different, but at the same point, you're seeing a defense again that you're familiar with. I'm just a little more scared. It's crazy to say this. Out of the three quarterbacks that you could play, I don't know that I want to play Baker. Like, the way that he's cooking, that offense is rolling, and they've also got their running game going a little bit with Bucky Irving. You know, regardless, like you said, they can face anybody and they can beat anybody. But I would probably prefer L.A., but the point about McVay is very smart there, where McVay, you feel like, is going to understand how to win, and they've got the weapons to do it. And the only reason I would feel a little bit confident there is Stafford just isn't quite the same, and he's always trying to give you the ball. If you take advantage of that, I think they can score against any of these defenses.
Of those three, Stafford, assuming it's Hurts, or Baker? Baker's the one that scares you the most?
Baker.
Really?
They're rolling, man. Their offense is a juggernaut right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm aware. But they just laid an egg 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
it happens. It looked awful in Dallas.
It happens, and I mean, the Rams are playing well. So,
and dude, you want to talk about picks, but Mayfield's thrown 15 picks.
Well, he throws them too, but like the thing with Stafford is he's not the Stafford that won a Super Bowl.
It doesn't look as explosive for that Rams offense.
Yeah.
And Kupp, oddly, is doing nothing for them.
Yeah.
I think Puka would be a damn problem.
Puka's their number one, and either way, you're going to have to deal with a legitimate running game, right? Kyron Williams.
So you vote L.A.?
I would vote L.A.
Okay. Landfill, where are you voting? What do you think the best possible matchup is for Washington?
L.A.
You also fear Baker?
Yeah.
I think you guys sleep on McVay.
The only thing here, JP, is like I almost look at the defenses because regardless of what offense you face, they're going to have the advantage like against this defense. But if you look at a Rams defense, which their stats are fine, but like they don't have an A.J. Terrell that they're going to be able to deploy on Terry. So Terry theoretically should be able to have a really good game. And I don't know that many people outside of their first-round pick and second-round pick this year with Verse and Fisk can name another dude on that Rams defense. That's not to say that they're not a good defense, but I think when you look at, do I want to face Antoine Winfield and those guys, or would I rather face a Rams defense? I don't know. I think I would take my chances against the Rams, not taking anything away from them, because they're still a decent unit. But I think regardless of who you face, it's going to have to be, you're going to have to outscore them. Because
I agree with that. I mean, even the last two wins, right, against playoff tier opponents in Philly and Atlanta, it's a race to 40.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Jeffrey, who you want?
I'm not going to lie, JP. For real,
you want Philly.
I was about to say, if they don't have Jalen Hurts, I want Philly.
What if they have him?
I'd take the Bucks.
Neil Greenberg joins us at 11. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. If you're just getting in your car, one, congratulations, you slept in. Two, Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin are going to the Pro Bowl. Pop quiz. Now, Toby's going to know this. I don't know anything about White Brian. White Brian, where do they hold the Pro Bowl these days?
Oh, I don't know.
Orlando?
Damn, shout out to White Brian. You didn't know, Toby?
I thought it was Orlando. Okay. I didn't know if they moved it around anymore. I like the days when it was in Hawaii.
Me too.
Send it back to
Hawaii.
At
least it was like kind of a football game then, and I think dudes got fired up to go to Hawaii.
Yeah, absolutely.
B-Mitch went and said that. No, listen, man, unless you're a kid going to Disney World, nobody on the planet wants to go to Orlando. I've been to Orlando. The airport is – I mean, the airport makes Dulles look like Mayberry. Maybe Jeff likes Orlando. I don't know. But I just – what events are involved in the Pro Bowl now? Is any of it football?
Dodgeball.
For
There's
real?
They usually do a dodgeball game the day before. There's...
Dude, I ended up watching dodgeball on, like, Christmas Day night or something. There was nothing on. Oh, I'll never understand these college football schedulers. Christmas Eve day. Right? I feel like a lot of people take that day off because I had to be at church with my kids at like 3:30 and it just wouldn't work to work. There's no bowl games. Give me the Pop-Tart Bowl or the
– By the way, Pop-Tart Bowl.
The Meineke Car Care Bowl. Whatever, man.
I love the overboard. I think so many brands are missing it. The point of these things is just to be over the top and dumb.
Yeah.
And the Pop-Tarts go all in on it.
You know who I think got that first? The Mayonnaise Bowl. Yeah. And they dumped that bucket of mayonnaise on the winning coach's head.
Virginia Tech, Duke's Mayo Bowl tomorrow.
Oh, they're in it?
Minnesota. Yep.
Okay. Are you calling it? What's
your
role?
I'll be doing scoreboards. We'll be right here on the Fan, 5:30 coverage tomorrow.
Yo, why can't that be a noon kick? I didn't even get to take advantage of the Caps day game this week because we were off.
Come on, JP. It's Friday of Dallas week.
You know what I may have looked at last night, Landfill? You'll appreciate this. I may have looked at the Nats 2025 schedule, and I believe our first Nats day game is May 7th.
Dang, you don't even get April at all?
No, dude. They're all like 4 o'clocks. Anyhow, I did. So the Pro Bowl, Jaden and Terry are in. Done. Hay is in the barn. Now you got a whole bunch of alternates, okay? The Pro Bowl had names like 15 different alternates going down to, I think, like a fifth alternate.
By the way, super happy for Terry and for Jaden and all these other alternates. Tyler Huntley was a Pro Bowler a couple years ago.
Right.
Like, the Pro Bowl has become a joke. It used to mean something. Now it means nothing.
Well, it means a lot to get in kind of the way Terry and Jaden did.
Yes.
Because they were, like, voted in as starters, right? And I think I'm just going to run through the list here. Bobby Wagner, linebacker, been named first alternate. Tyler Ott, long snapper, has been named first alternate. Nick Ballor, special teamer, been named first alternate. Tyler Biadasz, named second alternate. That's the guy we got to watch his health this week. Frankie Louvu, named second alternate. Tress Way, punter, second alternate. Austin Eckler, named third alternate. Dante Fowler, named third alternate. Jeremy Reeves, third alternate. Jeremy Chin, fifth alternate. Zach Ertz, fifth alternate. I think that's all very cool, very exciting. I think all of those people are deserving of where they have landed. I think Wagner will get in. I don't know that Ott will get in because I think if you're the long snapper that makes the Pro Bowl, I don't know that you turn that down.
No.
Now maybe that whoever that is will be in the Super Bowl and unable to go or something. It's the same with Ballor. For special teamers, for guys that don't get a ton of recognition, I think you're going to take advantage of this Pro Bowl invite. So it gets harder for the alternate to get in.
The Vikings long snapper is in for the Pro Bowl. So if the Vikings go to the Super Bowl, there you go, Tyler Ott.
Yeah, that's quite possible, too. It used to be, I believe this to be the case, that the Pro Bowl punter got to bring his long snapper. Because I remember I'm going years back now, but I remember when Sundberg was here, Tress might have been a Pro Bowler or was like the first alternate or whatever, and they were hoping Tress got it because then he could take Nick. I think that has since changed, clearly, if they're voting on long snappers.
Which, by the way, is hilarious.
Right.
How many fans can name
what's crazy, like,
long snappers?
Some of these positions should only be a coach vote.
Yes.
It should not. Like, that's just the Skull Army out there. Yeah. Maybe that guy's great. What do I know?
Yeah.
But congratulations to these guys. This also shows a lot of what they did from a personnel perspective. Think about this. All of these dudes, outside of Tress and Jeremy Reeves, I want to be sure. Yeah. Every single one of these guys, 11 Pro Bowl alternates, only two of them were here when Adam Peters got here. And that was the punter and a special teamer. Everybody else, they signed, most of them to one-year deals, frankly. Wagner, Ott, Ballor. Ballor, they signed week one. Biadasz got multi-year money. Louvu got multi-year money. Fowler 1 year, Eckler 1 year, Chin 1 year. Chin, they probably going to.
I think Eckler's 2 years.
I don't think there's guarantees on the second.
Okay.
Year. You can read what the agent wants you to read, or you can just look at the reality of it. I could be wrong on that. You can pull it up. But
by the way, when is he back? Got to think for the wild card round, right? Not playing this Sunday?
No way him or Lattimore go this Sunday. I don't know why you'd do it. I don't know that question, man. As funny as he was in. Now, Austin's been around. Like, I've seen him and spoken to him. And, he's a very, it's hard to describe Eckler because he's very media savvy. I think he's high up where in the NFLPA.
Yeah.
Like, he is very aware of what kind of his requirements are for, media rules and such. But he's also, generally when guys are like, no, I only talk here, I only talk in this location, generally they're not the most chill, I would say. But Eck is very chill. Like, if you just see him, what's up, shoot the breeze, like, all of that is super easygoing. It's just, it's pretty regimented when we're actually going to talk.
He's very careful in what he says.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, dude, that guy's going to have a long media career
when his
NFL career is done. And, you know, L.A. is home, which makes it easy. NFL Network's based there. Everybody's, like, every big media company has at least a space there. And I just don't know for Eckler. Dude, it's a second head injury. It was severe. I was in the tunnel when he walked out. I don't know. I think Lattimore, we could discuss, right? Like, all right,
yeah.
He's got a hamstring. No way he plays this week. But, man, you'd love to have him back. It's all about if he can test the hammy, right? The head injury stuff is not like that. It's not a soft tissue. And I don't know the answer, but, like, if you sustain two in a season, does that make a third that much easier to happen? Or is it like a hamstring? You pull it, and then it kind of remains tender and more susceptible to another pull.
And they only get worse as they go on, the concussions. Like you talked about, that second one was bad. I mean, he's been out now how many weeks, right? I mean, it's something where you don't want to put yourself in danger again. So who knows? You'd love to have him back and be a big boost to the offense, but also you want to think about his long-term health. I mean, this is a guy who's nearing the end of his career, whether he keeps playing or not, but like this is something where you don't want him to continue doing stuff and then have more damage than he needs to. So we'll see. I would love to have him back, though, because I think that would be a huge boost for them, whoever they place in the wild card round, to have that change of pace back that they really trust.
Yeah, man. Here's what we're going to do. Quick break. Neil Greenberg joins us next.